Good morning. Good to see everybody. We're just starting now. I hate breaking you guys up when you're fellowshipping and having a good time. We're still in the series about the love of God. And this morning I want to talk about all things new. We'll be in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Many of you are familiar with this passage. I told you for a while I'm going to be focusing on God's love for us. It doesn't end when we come to Christ. That's just the beginning. As he works with us to mold us into the image of His Son. And there's so much that He's done for us and will do for us through Jesus Christ. I'm reading Romans 8, 1 through 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, did not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I thank You, Father, for Your word. And You said it never returns to You empty. Just like the snow and the rain You send on the earth, it accomplishes the purpose that You send it for. And I thank You for that assurance we have. I thank You for this text of assurance for Your people, Lord. And I just pray that You will help us to better realize and understand this. Lord, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We thank You for Your Spirit of truth, Your Holy Spirit, whom You have placed in the heart of Your believers, that we may call You Father. I pray that everything said here this morning will be to Your glory. I pray, Lord, that I will decrease, and Holy Spirit, that You will increase as You bring us this truth. And we just give You all the praise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, boy. I put a few words down for definition. Just so we're all on the same page. Condemnation is judgment. Now, some of you are going, oh, duh, I know that. But just bear with me. Law is regulation and principles. To set your mind is to fix your attention on something, and that gets your whole attention, okay? When He refers to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit, the S is capitalized, which denotes deity, so that's the Spirit of God. Now, we got that out of the way. I just want you to be thinking about this along these lines. Praise God, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. You Christians ought to be going, shoot. Huh? Do you believe that this morning? Well, I don't feel worthy. It didn't say according to how you feel. It says there is therefore now. When's now? Now, right now, no judgment for you who are in Christ Jesus. God did that. You didn't do it. Now, you had a part in it. people say, we don't have any part in our salvation. You sure do. You respond. You repent. You obey. These are conditions of salvation. I'm not a work salvationist. I am telling you what the Word of God says. You change your mind. You don't argue with God. You're right. I'm wrong. I am a sinner. You are holy. You're justified in calling me a sinner. You're justified in sending me to an eternal death. Now, like the cult say, you're not dead and unconscious in eternity of dying, separated from the presence of God. That's the condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. I don't have to fear the second death. I don't fear the second death. Not because I'm a good guy, or that I'm better than any of you, because of what Christ Jesus did on the cross, and I have accepted that, and there is now no condemnation for Rick Johnson. Boy, somebody ought to get happy, man. Y'all spend a time like, oh, yeah, that's what I've heard. Come on! There is no condemnation for Wayne Mallow. Now. Right now. Amen. God did that. I love that expression. You tell me the whole dust ain't working here. We don't talk about what message you're doing, and then we're going to put this music to that. Man. I got pumped. I'm ready to preach for 2 hours. Yeah, y'all say don't get that pumped. Yeah. So we want to go home and eat. Okay. But sometimes we don't meditate on God's Word. I thought about this all week. There is therefore now no judgment. Amen. And it's all God's doing. Now, I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to be cross-referencing what I read with the message. The message is a transliteration of the Greek by a man named Eugene Peterson, who has a degree in biblical languages. And a transliteration means he didn't translate it word for word. The English Standard is pretty much word for word. The King James is pretty much word for word. But he translated it thought for thought. And in doing that, Brother Peterson tried to bring the Word into the street talk of today. Oh, great, I don't hang out on the streets. I'm not going to understand. You'll understand. I love the way he words this stuff. The Word. He words the Word. Now, when I read this, the first thing I thought of when I read Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Again, perish doesn't mean be wiped out of existence. Perish means to spend eternity apart from God. It's an eternity of dying. The drunkard will want a drink. The sex addict will want sex. The heroin addict will want another shot, and there won't be any. Plus, all of your sins are on you. And for eternity, the Bible says you will be tormented in the presence of the Lamb and the Holy Angels. Are you trying to scare me? Yeah. It's something to be scared of. I was headed for the same place. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, whoever believes in him does not have to perish. But he is passed from condemnation to life. Praise God, I stood judged. If you're not a Christian, you have already been judged. I didn't say it, Jesus did. He said, if anyone refuses this gift of God, you're already judged. You don't have to wonder when you die what's going to happen. You've already been judged. You're already guilty. Sentence has already been passed. God will just confirm it on that day that we stand before Jesus Christ. He'll open that book of life and say, nope, you ain't in there. Look again.
I taught Sunday school.
Nope. Not in them.
But I was an elder. I was in the way for 30 years.
You should have got out of the way so they could have got some things done.
Now, this message is for us Christians. If you have given your life to Christ, if you trust only Jesus Christ for your salvation, the Bible says you're not condemned.
I like that. God doesn't look at me and say, boy, he's going to hell. He says, that's one of my kids. One of my problem kids, but he's one of my kids.
Yeah. I see no fault in him.
You see a lot of them. I see a lot of faults in you, some of you. You know, but luckily for you, I'm not your judge.
I learned that a while back. The Lord said, you don't judge my servants. They'll stand or fall to me. Rick, you worry about Rick. Okay?
I could preach an hour just on that line. There's no condemnation now for you who are in Christ Jesus. Fresh start. Every day I get out of bed, it's a new day. You know? Fresh start.
Yeah.
Every day I get out of bed, it's a new start. I want you to listen to what Brother Peterson wrote. This is John 3:16-19. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the juggler when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a healing of it. And I'm sorry, I said that was John 3, it was Romans. 8:1. Did you catch the word in that? God took on the mess of humanity so he could set it right. You know, he must want fellowship with man pretty bad to go to that extreme just so you and he could have a relationship. It's the only way to make it right. You go to a court and you set through a divorce hearing. And this word pops up at least twice. Irreconcilable differences. Well, all the way back in Genesis 6, it says, and then men began to call upon the Lord. And the Hebrew there means to call out to him and say, what can I do? What must I do to get back into that fellowship? So they tried making statues who they thought God might look like and worshiping. They tried good works. Some of them actually separated themselves from other people so they wouldn't be tempted. And Isaiah the prophet, God told him one day, finally said, you know what? All of your righteous acts are like dirty rags. You can't get to me that way. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. You can't reform enough to become a Christian. It's all Jesus. Yeah, all Jesus. And Brother Peterson wrote that out. As God experienced our human mess,
And he turned around and said, I'll take those lemons and I'll make lemonade. Give me your life. Yeah, it's a mess, but I'll make something out of it. I can make sense out of it. I can turn around a self-centered man or woman who has spent their whole life thinking of only themselves, and I'll turn them into saints that's going to love people in the name of Jesus Christ. My dad told me of a ship's barber when he was in the Navy that was such a bad alcoholic. The captain would let him sneak a few bottles of brandy on board, which was not allowed back in the 50s in the Navy. But he let that guy have his brandy, and he said when he ran out of alcohol at sea, he would drink the shaving lotion because it had alcohol. I've seen guys do that in jail. Listerine. If you're taking something to jail, don't take Listerine or shaving lotion because they'll drink it. You know, they want to get high. And anyway, he said he was on leave one time in New York City. And he said, I heard your street preacher. And he said, I thought, I know that voice. And he followed the voice, and he said, there stood that ship's brother preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he walked up to him and said, I called him by name and said, are you drunk? He said, no. So the Salvation Army preacher, I was here on Liberty one day, just drunker than Cooter Brown, and this Salvation Army preacher was preaching the gospel, and he said, I repented and I came to Christ. He said, now my whole life is dedicated to preaching the gospel out here on the streets to other people that were just like me. That's how that works. He wasn't under judgment anymore, and when he found himself in that privileged position, he said, I got to share this. I got to tell the other alcoholics there's hope for you in Jesus Christ. Yeah. They said something to the meeting the other night I liked. I said, is this only for drug and alcohol abusers and people who've been in prison? He said, no, Rick. He said, everybody that's in sin's a misfit. He said, we all got problems, man, so it's open for any sinner that wants to come and confess their sins, and we'll pray for one another. Because we have experienced that freedom in Jesus Christ, we should want to share that. There was a guy, I didn't like him at all in the past, but he always had good weed. I didn't like him personally, but he had good weed. And when he got saved, he used to go around to the guys that he got high with, and he said, didn't I always share with you? Oh, yeah, man, you always shared your weed. He said, now I got something better. And he started telling what Jesus Christ had done in his life. He said, some of them would leave. Some of them would listen. One guy came to Christ. So he saw the change in him, and he said, I want what you got. What are we ashamed of? You know, the early church was evangelistic. The Christian church today is inclusive. We're focused inside. We're just, let's just hang on and keep the people here that we got. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28. Hang on and keep everybody that you got and make sure they think just like you do. And if they're Baptist, get them in there and convert them to the true religion. My hope is based on nothing less than Schofield's notes and stress. I dare not trust earth's sweetest frame, but only lean on old King James. Yeah, Rick, you're being a little bit facetious. I'm doing it on purpose. There's a guy here in town told somebody I was going to hell and I was taking every one of you with me because I don't preach out of the King James Bible. I said, go back and tell him that's funny. The Holy Spirit hasn't said anything to me about it. I don't worship the book. I worship the author. Yeah, and if they can write a translation that's easier for people to understand, why should we have a problem with that? Yeah. No condemnation. I've got back to it. Now there's conditions on that. Here's what Peterson said. This is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted. You know what acquitted means? You go before a judge and he says, not guilty, and you've been acquitted of the charges. You walk out there with no record. Not guilty. That's acquitted. No condemnation. They're both legal terms. These aren't bad terms to use.
Well, I don't think they're taking liberty with that.
No. No condemnation is a legal term in Jesus' day, and it's the same today as being acquitted. How? By believing in Jesus. Now, I had a Baptist friend told me he rode that scripture to hell for years. He said, my Christian brothers would say, brother, you oughtn't be drinking that beer. You oughtn't be partying like that. All of John 3:16 says, whosoever believes in Him, and I believe in Him. And he said he was in a motel room one night with a pistol in one hand and a Bible in the other. I'm thinking, I'm either going to read this and start understanding it, or I'm going to blow my head off. And he said, guess what scripture I opened to? John 3:16. He said, the light came on. And I realized, he said, I believed in Jesus, but I was just miserable as I could be. I wanted to die. He said, I believe the Holy Spirit was the one who said, believe means you follow. Believe means you're not in control of your life anymore. You give it to Him. And He did. And now He preaches the gospel that He wants destroyed. A lot of professed Christians are destroying the gospel today. They proclaim that they know Jesus Christ and they live like the devil himself. And they'll stand on scriptures like that and say, there's no condemnation. After all, we're not under the law. And there is no law, sin's not imputed. Paul did say that. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, if we were still under the law said, cursed is everyone who doesn't keep every precept of this law. And James said, if you break one, you broke the whole law. And God's right. That was a no-win situation. And God had to fulfill the righteous requirements of that law, and so He sent His only Son to take on the likeness of sinful humanity so He could judge sin on His Son and make it safe to nail that law to the cross with Him. And now we live in the law of the Spirit of life. We who have received Jesus. But what's the law of the Spirit of life? God said, this is the covenant I shall make with them in those days. I will write my laws in their hearts and on their minds through the Holy Spirit. We couldn't have the Holy Spirit until Jesus paid the price. Now we can have the Spirit. Paul goes on to say, it's those who possess the Spirit of Christ who can claim the Scripture. Just believing in Jesus does not acquit you. If you have never honored God by accepting that sacrifice He gave for you, each and every one of you, you are not acquitted, you are guilty. And I don't say that as your judge because I was one of the guiltiest to ever stand before that bar. The first time I read, Paul said, Jesus Christ came to save sinners of who I am chief. I went, nah. Paul, I was worse than you were. I've often said, if the church knew my whole testimony, they'd probably have a little secret meeting and say, it's kind of embarrassing to have a man like that up there. May have said it already, but there's therefore now no condemnation for Rick Johnson because he's in Christ. God has thrown my past behind his back, I still retrieve it at times. And I've come to understand, I've been forgiven, but the hurt, the pain is still there sometimes. And I have to deal with that. And I think God allows that.
Get my thoughts back together here. Jesus said to Nicodemus, this is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world. But women, men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. See, that's the charge. God lays. You know, you say, well, you got a sin nature, and all you know how to do is sin, and you can't have that broke till the Holy Spirit comes on you and you're regenerated, and then you know you're sinner. No. Jesus said they're not interested. And there are people today still are not interested. There are people who sit in church every Sunday are not really interested in surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. Paul's talking here to the surrendered. Now, do we struggle in the flesh? Oh, man. There's a passage where Paul says, the spirit within us lusts to envy. And according to the Greek commentators, it's saying that the Holy Spirit has this jealous love for you. Remember, God said, I'm a jealous God. And he yearns to bring us into that God light and to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. He's jealous. And when you and I give our attention to the world or the flesh, the Bible says he's just jealous. You don't belong over there. Come over here where it's safe. Come over here and live. Paul says that those who live according to the flesh, now he's making a distinction here. Who's he talking to? Huh? The church. I've had that training where they try to separate this and say, well, those who live according to the flesh are those who are still under the law. No. Paul never says anything like that. He says, Christian, you have a very real choice. Every day for the rest of your life, you have to choose, who am I going to follow? I don't know about you, but I want to follow the one that says that I'm not judged anymore. Okay? Because then I'm pretty safe if I follow him. That's part of the deal, by the way. It's a package deal. It's a package deal. You know, it sickens me when I hear people go, well, we have no part in that. You know? And then they go on to say, it doesn't matter how you live, you have to sin and work God and be. People that say that, I'm going to tell you what their problem is. They got sin in their life, secret sin in their life. They don't want to surrender. So they justify. Are you saying you don't sin? I didn't say that. But you'll never hear this preacher tell you that you have to sin. That's a lie. That is blasphemy. Yeah, it's blasphemy. Jesus said, I came to set you free, and if the Son sets you free, what? You are free indeed. There is therefore now no condemnation for you. No judgment. He has broke the power of sin in your life. If you sin in word, thought, and deed, it's because you choose to sin in word, thought, and deed. You stop following the Master and you turn back to the old ways. I've done it. Guilty as charged. But I'm honest enough to tell you that there was no nature involved. It wasn't that I couldn't keep from doing it. I chose to do it at a time of weakness. I took my eyes off Jesus Christ. I said, God, I really need a break. Can't it be about me once in a while? Paul said Jesus was delivered for our offenses. And he was raised again for our justification.
Praise God. Yeah.
I said it in the beginning, that you don't have to be an axe murderer to be somebody that needs to be saved. If you're a human being walking this earth, you need a Savior. Okay? Yeah. I don't care if your biggest sin's eating too many cookies, you need a Savior. And it's not, by the way. You know, if you've broken one of the Ten Commandments, the Bible says you're guilty of all of them. So if you've ever told a lie in God's eyes, you're a murderer. You're no better than a murderer. Well, that's kind of heavy, Bob. That's the way the law works. Aren't you glad you nailed that to the cross? I am. Now, am I still under the law?
Yep.
I'm under the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. He still says, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not bear false witness. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of love. Paul calls it the law of liberty that we're under. You know, we ought to be the most gracious people in the world. If we really realize the mercy that God has shown on us, we ought to be merciful. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. Christian, you want to choose to go the rest of your life being bitter towards somebody or somebodies, and judgmental and unmerciful, guess what's going to happen? The Lord said, you won't receive mercy. You don't want to get it, you ain't going to receive it. You don't want to forgive, I can't forgive you. That's what it literally says. God cannot. Well, all things are possible with God. Yeah, but he said, look, I forgave you that 10,000 talents, and you can't forgive a fellow servant one offense, two offenses. Peter said, well, how many do I get? Seven? He said, no, 70 times seven, Peter. Man, that's 490 times, Lord. I ain't got that much patience. Really? He does. I am so glad that my Heavenly Father is a loving and merciful and patient God who loves to show mercy. Oh, I've needed mercy a lot in the last 34 years. And I found it every time. Every time. I've never went to my father and said, you just sinned your salvation away. You've gone too far. He says, all right, come on, boy. Let's wash that pig stuff off of you. Let's get you clean. Let's put another white garment. I don't know how many you've been through, but let's get another one. Let's put shoes on your feet. Put that signet ring back on your finger that shows you're my son. And now when I look at you, there's no judgment. It says Jesus Christ bore that. Praise God. I'll close with this. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. That's legalism. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Oh, I like that. When I was in martial arts, when I kickbox, our sensei, our teacher, used to tell us, to be any good at this, you have to eat, sleep, and breathe karate. That's what he believed. He told me one time, if you was as serious about karate as you are about partying, you'd be a bad dude. You know, he said, if you had that kind of drive for karate. Peterson says, the Spirit of God in you lives and breathes God. You know why he came? Jesus said to glorify Jesus. And if he's in you, that should be your heart's desire. And if it's not, it's usually because he's not in you. If it's all about you when you come to church, you need to do some deep examination of yourself also. We fight over the stupidest things sometimes.
has nothing to do with soul being saved. But when we're all led by the Spirit, all of us, even though we disagree on some things, our goal will be that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and glorified in this church. Yeah. Jesus said, that's what will bring people to me when I am lifted up. Not when the church is lifted up, not when dogma is lifted up, not when the priest is lifted up, when Jesus Christ is lifted up. People, the world has a problem and we have the answer. Why aren't we sharing that? Well, people don't want to hear it. Who cares? Do you think on the day of judgment that God will look at you and say, why didn't you share your testimony? How come I didn't get some of my investment back with interest? Well, God, nobody wanted to hear it. Oh. They didn't want to hear it when Jesus was here. They nailed him to a cross. Yeah. You're not going to escape suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul said those who want to live godly lives will suffer. Not maybe, not if, not if you go to this part of town. He said you will suffer. But God looks at you and there's no condemnation. What do I do if I'm talking to them and they say I don't want to hear it? Shut up. I never could stand a pushy Christian when I wasn't a Christian. I'd warn them once. I'd warn them a second time. And I'd tell them, if I have to warn you again, we're going to fish too. Now, I'm not driving on me. What'd they do? They shut up. I went to jails and witnessed to guys. And then they go, I don't believe it. I just shut my focus off of them. I start talking to somebody that does. And if they all say, I don't want to hear it, have a nice day, guys. Don't use that as an excuse for not sharing. You are no longer under condemnation as a child of God. You have every right to go out into the world and say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And do you know that there's other people he wants to bring in so they will no longer be judged? That's why he came. The second time he's coming back, he's coming to judge. The first time he came back to save. What a privileged position I had as a child of God. I'll finish this quote and then we're done. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsessing with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us into the open, into a spacious life. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Peterson said, focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about himself than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God is not pleased that being ignored. Would you stand with me? This was not to make you feel condemned. If you're a child of God, there's no condemnation. But let me tell you something, child of God. We struggle every day with a world and a devil who hates us. Jesus says they're here to kill, steal, and destroy. And we need to pull away from that. If you're here this morning and you have never asked Jesus Christ to save you, to forgive you, then do it. Come up here and sit down. I'll be glad to talk to you. I'll stay here all day if you need it. Don't walk out of here with judgment on you. If you're a child of God and you're away from God, don't let the enemy tell you that it's too late or God won't listen or he won't forgive, because that's what he's in the business of. And if you're a child of his who's wandered away, he wants you back. The decision's all yours. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation, please? Program we started here, that God's going to open the door. And over in Mountain Grove, they've had over 15 people come to Christ so far. Yeah. And that's the objective, my objective here, introducing to Jesus Christ. Tonight, Dr. Mark will not be here, and I'm going to preach the second half of this message. Yeah. If I'd have done the whole text, we'd be here till 3 o'clock. Well, 2 o'clock. I don't know where Elias goes, so I don't want to shorten it any more than that. But no, come back tonight. I'd like to talk a little more on the last part of this text, because it all goes together so well. Any other prayer requests you want to bring to the body? Yes. Oh. Oh. Yeah. Hey. Okay. Vonda and Laura Von Garten. Anything else? Well, I never had them tell me, Don, would you please close for us, please?
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We just are joyous in your love. We ask that you would guide us this coming week and keep us in your love. We pray for Doyle and his wife, that you might comfort them and help them to recover. And we ask that you'd go with each and every one of us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.